right, without further ado, I want to present our next speaker. He's a friend of mine who's been here in Mexico. He's working in San Miguel. He's doing Freedom Cell work out there. And he also has a podcast called the Borderless Podcast. We're going to hear from his presentation in just, well, right now. Please welcome James Guzman, everyone. All right. Thank you, brother.
All right. This is great. Thanks so much for inviting me. John and Derek, this is phenomenal, right? Let's give it a round of applause to them and everybody that came. It wasn't planned, but does this work? Maybe I'll just do this. It wasn't planned, but what I'm going to be talking about is very much in line with Catherine Austin Fitz. So if I know people might watch this on a recording. You might want to go back and watch hers as well after you're done with this. So anyways, as you said, I'm James Guzman, and I'm James Guzman. I have a Borderless podcast and a blog, have a YouTube channel as well, so you can check that out. I've been involved in what they call the Liberty Movement for like 15 years, and moved out of the U.S. about 10 years ago or more, and since then I've been helping people that want to live internationally, specifically here in Mexico. I help people with real estate, advice on immigration and insurance or whatever that people need to do with their transition to come down here and being more international with themselves and their investments, their assets. So today's talk, I'm going to outline a book. And the book is called The Fourth Turning. Has anybody here ever heard of that book? Okay. Yeah, it's an old book. A lot of people talk about it on especially like online investment podcasts and things like that. A lot of people are familiar with it. And so I'm going to outline that book, and we'll talk about maybe some of the things that we can take from that, how it goes along with other people's predictions about what we're living through, what we're going to see, and then maybe how we can use some of the things that they tell you to do in that book in our own lives, how I've used it. And so that's my plan today. I think I have allergies or something, so I apologize for that. I'm not sure if it messes up the speech here. So let's go. Okay. So the book is written by William Strauss and Neil Howe, and it's about the cycles of history and how they apply to the destiny of the United States. They took all these cycles from all different societies throughout the world, and then they juxtaposed that to the United States to see where we might be today and what we can do to prepare for the future, knowing that thing, those things. So hopefully what I'm hoping is that with this talk, we help you solidify what the future conditions are that you should be planning for and how one can survive and even thrive through this transition. All right. So yeah, the first slide here. So, as I said, this is a theory of cycles. They actually wrote several books, but the most popular one and what the word comes from is called The Fourth Turning. You could think of it as cycles, or you could think of it as the seasons of history. So essentially what we're talking about is just as there are seasons of life, seasons throughout the year, seasons of life meaning when you're young, middle-aged, older. These are different points in your life, different points in the year. And they would argue that there are also seasons of societies that go through cycles. The last speaker was talking about cycles, and so that's basically what they're talking about. Each season, from their analysis, is about 20 to 22 years, and four of them together is what they call a saeculum, and saeculum in Latin means a long human life or a natural century. Okay, so one of these is a saeculum, and next slide, please, we'll show you. The next slide. There we go. So this is the breakdown that they have for the United States and the different saeculums and turnings. So you can see it's pretty interesting. Give me a second to look at that. And they talk about seven specific saeculums in Anglo-American history. That's what we're talking about. And they go into depth into each of the characteristics of each of these turnings and the archetype of the people that are born into them. And they really, obviously, it's a long book, so they go into a lot of details about this. I'm not going to go into all that, but if you're more interested, you can. I would urge you to read the book. There are four seasons, which is starts with high, awakening, unraveling, and crisis. Anybody guess which one we're in now? All right. Yeah, and so from their analysis, they say that this started in 2008, which, you know, might make sense. Make sense to a lot of people that, you know, like me, that were young at that time, maybe just getting started in the economy, working, maybe buying first house at that time, and then everything crashed, and it's never really been the same since then. And they would say that it ends about 2029. They characterize crisis as an era of destruction, often involved in war or revolution, in which institutional life is destroyed and rebuilt in response to a perceived threat to the nation's survival. After the crisis, civic authority revives, cultural expression redirects towards community purpose, and people begin to locate themselves as members of a larger group. This is not in the book, but I do want to point out that you'll notice in this last saeculum, I find it to be unique from the other ones, in that we're talking about the post-World War II order, right? Or what some people would call the global American empire, which we've been kind of in, where the United States has basically maintained order throughout the world through its hegemony from the economy underpinned by the U.S. dollar, also, you know, entities like the World Bank, IMF, NATO, that are basically controlled by the United States. So if we do have this turning, we're not just talking about something in the United States, we're talking about something that's going to affect the entire world, or as some people say, we all know, New World Order, right? So that would go along with this this book. Next slide, please. Okay. So put it basically, probably a lot of people have seen this popular meme. It kind of, it goes along with the idea that, you know, hard times create strong men create good times create weak men create hard times. Okay. That's kind of the idea. Let me simplify it. And of course, a lot of people, if you, you know, look it up, you're going to see a lot of people are going to criticize the theory of the turnings of this book, because they'll say, well, it's pseudoscience, not scientific. And that's true. It's not. Okay. This is not something scientific. This is a speculative theory. It could be completely wrong. So I just want to put that out there. And maybe we can go back to the 90s, early 2000s, and it'll be like that for the next 1,000 years. Could happen. And, you know, I think about is maybe some people are familiar with Dave Smith. He's kind of a libertarian comedian, podcaster. He has a comedy special, and he said, he has a bit, and he said, I don't know if there's any historians out there, but if you could please tell me if there was a country that it was a great nation. It was a country that was a great nation, a superpower. It first started out as a republic, turned into an empire. It spread itself way too thin militarily. Then the culture started to fall apart, and it overspent, and then everything turned out great. Yeah, right. So, I mean, it does seem that it would make sense that we'd have these cycles, or things kind of have an inevitability. And I do want to point out also that other people make predictions that seem to match up with that theory almost perfectly. So another person who has written about similar cycles of society is Ray Dalio, who is a billionaire hedge fund manager, very popular. And he has this book, Principles for Dealing with the Changing World Order, where he argues that about the same time period, the United States is going to recede in power and China is going to be the dominant power. That's his theory. We also have both the Great Reset and Agenda 2030, which, you know, kind of put in the same bucket. And they also predict changes in the coming world order, as you can see, 2030, right? So it kind of matches up with that. And they're not only predicting, but I would say trying to influence the future to be more favorable to themselves. They argue that this has to do with climate change, COVID, rising fascism, xenophobia, cyber attacks, stuff like that, that are just kind of naturally occurring. But I see it as simply them trying to push for their own financial and ideological interests into 2030. And if you think that it's far-fetched that this has any that has anything to do with this book, I want to point out that actually Al Gore read The Fourth Turning, the original book and all of them, but when he read the original book, which put forth this theory of turnings, he said, quote, "It was the most stimulating book on American history that I ever read, and he sent it out to everybody in Congress." So a lot of people in, you know, places of power have been reading this, so might have something to do with it. Also, this all may seem very kind of deterministic, and a lot of these things are a way that we don't want to go. Kind of a white pill, I would say, this book, The Sovereign Individual, which is a book I like a lot. I read in college that kind of truly changed my outlook on a lot of things. I would recommend people read it. And in it, they argue that we will have a depression during these years due to the collapse of the welfare state in Western countries. And because of technology, it'll have a more of a decentralizing rather than centralizing effect. And they call the Agenda 2030 Great Reset crowd the New World Disorder, because they say that'll all fall apart because a lot of different decentralizing technologies that we have. And so it's kind of a positive way of looking at it. That's the wild card here. If this is in any way correct, what is it going to look like after? And that's what we can influence. I think that's what a lot of people have talked about today is getting ready for that, and how we can have a high or another part, you know, the next cycle that will be favorable. And according to the book, we're living through the crisis phase, which is characterized by institutional destruction, war or revolution, economic downturns, terrorism, governments printing money, individualism reaches its peak. From the U.S. perspective, you can think of other crisis phases such as the American Revolution, Civil War, Great Depression, and World War II. All right. Yeah. The next slide, please. So, somebody back there? Okay. So, yeah, the title of the talk is To Act Your Age. And what that means is, just as as a teenager, you're not going to act like someone who's 90 years old. You need to act for the age that you're in. In that case, we know that we're going through the crisis age. And once through that, we should be prepared to try to rebuild new institutions. So the first thing that we can do, these are all put forth in the book, and I'll kind of go through them and then expound on how maybe personally we can, I'm doing that, and how you might want to incorporate that into your life. So first thing that they talk about is rectify, meaning returning to classic virtues. A quote from the book, build a reputation as a person of honor and integrity who values self-restraint, family commitments, cultural decency, and mutual trust. They also stress that it is not a good time to be a free agent with a reputation for being disloyal, changing deals, or being hard-nosed with everyone you deal with. They say that it is a bad time for those who are perceived as predatory or parasitic. Okay, the next one is converge. During the fourth turning, the population's core will be more important than diversity. You not want to be unplugged or distant from your community. Another quote that they say, if you belong to a racial or ethnic minority, you should try to prepare for a possible nativist backlash. The next one is bond. Anonymity will be discredited and direct personal linkages will be valued. Having well-positioned friends could be very important. Face-to-face contact could gain new importance. Gather, people will value those with a good reputation that can work well in teams. As they've said before, this turning is when individualism peaks and people look for those that have things in common with and can work with. You might want to raise your children in a way where they can work in groups and integrate into the community. Next one is root. Your family will become your ultimate safety net. They encourage people to maintain all relationships with your extended family. Being far from a family, especially as a retiree, could cause extra hardship. Someone wealthy might want to consider transferring their assets now to possible heirs to avoid estate taxation and other government restrictions later on. One quote is, if you have no spouse or children, you should develop an alternative family-like support network among friends, neighbors, and coworkers. The fourth turning will not be a good time to be socially stranded. Then we have Brace. During this turning, today's government supply of senior benefits could erode sharply. Things like Social Security and Medicare could turn out to be no more reliable than the earlier promises of the Continental or Confederate dollars, meaning not reliable. The best way to guarantee good health care in old age is to practice good health habits today. And one quote is, discuss with your family how the burdens of old age would be shouldered if and when public assistance becomes unavailable. And then finally, we have hedge, meaning basically diversifying what you do, diversify everything you do, being fluent in as many languages, cultures, technologies as you can. Your business could face the total alterations of market conditions. Expect public subsidies to vanish, regulatory environments to change quickly, and new trade barriers to arise. Avoid leveraged investments and leveraged debt. Invest heavily in equities to profit now. If you are going to invest, you might want to do it now before there's a big crash or something, and try to make money while you can before the end of the unraveling. They say hedge your portfolio and include assets in mutual and foreign markets where the same cycles do not appear to coincide with that of the United States. You can try to ensure that no one outcomes such as inflation, deflation, market crash, bank panic, default on national debt would destroy your entire savings or asset base. So that's what they say. And I'll kind of go through my take and what I'm doing and maybe what you could do as well. A lot of the things that they mention are about building relationships. That's what we're doing now, I hope. That's kind of the idea with the Greater Reset and Freedom Cells. And so you want to build relationships with people around you and build networks. Of course, I've come to the same conclusion. And I've done that with my podcast, videos, blogs, stuff like that, with online relationships, which is great. But I think that in order to build, real in-person relationships, it's a good idea to be somewhere where you have some kind of roots, which is why I was a what you call like a digital nomad, living out of your backpack, that type of thing, traveling around and all that for a long time. And I've changed that. And now I'm just, completely an expat. And I live here. I have an extended family. My wife's side, I got my parents to move down here as well. So, I have a place that I like and kind of that network. So I would say try to think of a place where if you do have family in a place, then that's great. And maybe try to bring them there or something like that. And I understand that everybody doesn't have that luxury, but you can also try to build other types of networks and kind of choose your family, as people say, by starting. If you don't know where to start, you could start regular meetups. Obviously, I think it goes without saying, Freedom Cells. And if you don't have a Freedom Cell, wherever it is that you like, what do you think you should do? Start one. Yeah, that's right. volunteer. I did that when I first moved down to Mexico. I would volunteer at a lot of the events to do photography and other things like that. And I really got to know people really quickly. Not only is it a good way to network, but, it's reputation, right? They talked about reputation. So you build a reputation as someone that, you're there to help and be part of the community. Again, you don't want to be looked as kind of parasitical or an outsider. Diversify. It's a good idea to diversify your skill set. A lot of people like me, when I was talking about the digital nomad thing, you have skills that you can use online, like WordPress, graphic design, and pay-per-click ads and things like that. Well, that's might not be so great. You need to think about maybe some manual skills, things that you could use. Like I would say, we're here in Mexico now. For a lot of you that live here, or maybe you are thinking of moving down here, number one thing you should do is probably learn Spanish, right? If you don't know. So Imagine that the internet went out, right? How would you make a living? Okay, you really need to not think about that hard. So, you know, maybe things like carpentry, electric work, gardening, healthcare, you know, things that you can fall back on, maybe start as a side hustle or something like that. And then building that is going to be, you know, what we're talking about with an agorist, agorist, or a parallel network. That's what you can build into that you can fall back on or be 100% of make your living on there. As far as entitlements and pensions, people that don't think about their old age, a lot of times they get put into really bad circumstances. I see that a lot here in Mexico, helping people, you know, plan, and then they just don't, or they don't think about it, and then they get put in really bad circumstances if something emergency was to happen, or slowly, which is even worse. Just think about if you're taking government money or government assistance or a pension, if that's what you're living on, think about it again. If that's not there, what are you going to do? How would you make a living, or you know, things like that? So it's also good to do from a business perspective. Maybe not specifically. Maybe you're not getting like government money directly into your business, but your clients are. So think about, you know, in this crisis mode, how that might affect your clients, and maybe how you can pivot whatever it is that you do to focus on maybe a different market, or broaden the people that you sell to. As far as getting ready for retirement, if you found a base, I would say you should consider buying land there. It's not just from an investment perspective or to rent it out or whatever, but it's, you know, a place that you have peace of mind. You know, it's a place that you like, you're comfortable, and you can incorporate all the things that we talked about yesterday, the permaculture and food independence. And that's some of the best investments you can do. You know, buy a seed and, you know, have tomatoes for a long time, right? So so I think that's a great thing to think about. Another thing that Catherine Austin Fitz spoke about, precious metals, commodities, those are good things in general to hold during these times when they talk about money printing, right? And if you have if you do have some kind of stocks, think about buying them in different markets. Hopefully you can get some return dividends and markets that aren't 100% correlated with the United States economy. Keeping cash outside of banks, different currencies, I also think is a good idea. And when you are using banks, you know, think about it consciously what banks you're using. It does not have to be a bank that you know, with somewhere you live, although maybe you like to do that person to person, but, you know, go to a bank that you trust. Maybe you like their practices, and, you know, don't just bank with any big bank, again, as Catherine Austin Fitz was talking about. I think that's a good thing to think about. Diversifying what you call a government risk, which is getting residencies, passports. We saw how important this was with COVID. I know, you know, again, we're talking about agorism. You know, some people want to just find ways that they can not do that. And I mean, that's fine. But another way you can think about it is to actually have more. So have more residencies in places, or passports that you won't be restricted from leaving or from going somewhere in one of the hubs that you've chosen. Also, I think we all know you want to diversify your media consumption. We all do that, I think, here, and, you know, going to learning through events here like the Greater Reset. So that's an overview of at least one theory of what we are living through and how to prepare. And I hope that can spur some of you to think about the future, incorporate some of the ideas to get through the current season, and make the one coming one positive for yourself and hopefully all of us. So that's all I got. Thank you.
Are you sick of being told you will own nothing and be happy?
Are you sick of being told how to live your life by the mainstream media?
Exactly what people think. And this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Are you exhausted with the truth community, focusing only on the problems?
Are you ready to do something about it?
Let's take action together. Join the Freedom Cell Network in January 2023 as we return with the Greater Reset for co-creation.
The Greater Reset is a five-day in-person and online gathering where solutions-focused speakers and organizations share practical steps for individual and collective liberation.
This year, we'll even hear experiences from real communities on the ground across multiple continents.
The Greater Reset 4 will focus on activating five focus areas over 5 days.
January 18th, liberate your mind, body, and soul.
January 19th, permaculture and food independence.
January 20th, agorism and parallel networks.
January 21st, take back our tech.
January 22nd, building free and conscious communities.
This is our time to co-create the world we want for 2030 and beyond.
Join us as we lay the foundation for the next stage of a free humanity.
Join us from January 18th to the 22nd, 2023, as we gather online, in person in Central Texas and Morelia, Mexico.
Join us for the Greater Reset 4 co-creation.
View the full speakers list and organize your local activation hub at thegreaterreset.org.